Love came down in a manger. Was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, it was, Logan. Last week we talked about how there is joy in anticipation. And we saw from Mary's perspective, the shepherd's perspective, and many others, how much joy there is in trusting that God will show up. And we learned that we still experience joy in the waiting of our lives as well. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the servant love of Jesus. We're going to talk about the way that he came into this world, the way he lived, and finally, yes, the way he died, and that he was a humble servant through it all. Now, who in this room this morning likes surprises? Nobody likes surprises? Yeah, I think we could all raise our hands if we like surprises, right? But some of us are afraid to. And we like surprises. Some people love to receive gifts at Christmas that are completely unexpected. Right? Completely unexpected. What are you doing, Courtney? You? Yeah, definitely. And some of us pick something up and say to our significant others, here you go, dear. Here's my surprise. No, just Merry Christmas. No, just had to throw that in there. He doesn't do that. But others love to share an idea of what they hope for. Who's planners in this room? Who has things planned to a T? Not just at Christmas time. But you've got a schedule, you know where you're going, you know where you're supposed to be, you know, it's just there, right? And then there's the unexpected things that happen. Could be a nice call from an old friend, could be a promotion at work, could be a good grade on an assignment. One of the unexpected things, although I should have expected it, I was sitting wrapping some gifts on Saturday morning, and I knew every kettle volunteer was in place, or so I thought. And I was just following up with them through text message, and then one volunteer said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't go. I thought I texted you last night." And I immediately went back to my text message and said, "This is what I received from you. You were volunteering today." And anyway, the unexpected was that I stood at Walmart for 5 hours yesterday. That was the unexpected. But you know what? God uses the unexpected. God uses the unexpected. So much so that my first conversation at that kettle was a God moment. Even though inside, I will admit, that I felt a little bit grinchy. But you know what? God uses those circumstances to strengthen us and to build us up in the faith. And so to work in someone else's lives. And so imagine you're going about your daily routine, you're working hard to make ends meet, and suddenly, unexpectedly, there's a life change event that brings immense joy, but also new challenges. So life can throw surprises at us when we least expect it or anticipate them. But it's how we adapt to that surprise that alters our reality. And so today we begin in the Gospel of Luke, where a single event dramatically altered reality as Jesus' birth took place, and we read it earlier. And so before we even get to this part in the story, let's start with the women that God chose to bring Jesus into the world. He did not choose a queen. He did not choose a daughter of a rich man. He chose a young girl from a small town. He did not choose flashy. He chose humble, and becoming pregnant with the Savior of the world was a very unexpected thing to happen to Mary. It was especially surprising, being that she was a virgin who was committed to marrying a man named Joseph. And so for you and I today, it is the unexpected arrival. And so picking up where this passage starts, Joseph, Mary, and her unborn baby must leave home and travel to the big city for the census count. It was mandatory. The whole entire Roman world were going. Today, I guess we can still mail our census in, or we fill it out online. But in this time in history, you had to show your face in person. This was events of over 2,000 years ago. There was no ultrasounds. There was no due dates. And even with all of today's technology and advancement in healthcare, you never truly know when a baby is going to come. We can assume that Mary, she didn't plan. We can assume that Mary did not plan to have her baby anywhere other than in her home, and certainly not in a dusty stable. But you see, God had a different plan. Imagine being far from home, traveling mostly on foot, being extremely pregnant, and not having a place to stay for the night. The city was filled with all kinds of travelers that had come to report for the census, and there was literally no room to stay, even at the inn. There was no vacancy for the young family to occupy. Hard to imagine, but there was physically no space for them. And so Joseph and Mary graciously accepted a manger, which essentially is a sweeter word for a barn. And Mary gives birth to Jesus, and as Scripture says, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Jesus came into the world in a lowly and humble way. This was all intentional. Jesus was not born to wealthy parents in a palace like the many kings before him. We witnessed the most unexpected arrival of the Savior of the world. God planned this. And God connects with humanity in a very vulnerable way. And by being born the way he was, where he was, Jesus immediately identifies with the marginalized and the ordinary of the world. And it is Christmas when we are reminded that God's love is not reserved for the elite, but it is accessible for all people. And so Jesus arrived in an unexpected way, which set the precedent for his entire life. Let's look at who Jesus became and who he was during his time on earth. The humble nature that he gave, that he came into the world with, is a defining piece of who he is throughout his life. Paul writes about this to the early church in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Paul gives his listeners an expectation that we ought to live in relationship with one another, and Jesus is the example which we are to follow. We are to share his mindset of humility and service. A well-known artist carefully put his experiences onto a canvas, creating that piece of art that was unlike anything that he had ever done before. It was simple. It was unadorned. It was a depiction of everyday life, a mother's love, a child's laughter, a worker's toil, a friend's embrace. And when the artist unveiled this unexpected creation, the world was astounded. Critics and admirers alike were moved by the depth of emotion that this piece had. It touched their hearts in ways that had never been done. And the artist explained, "In this simple painting, I aimed to capture the very essence of our shared humanity, the beauty of everyday life, everyday emotions that connect us all, and the significance of the ordinary moments we often overlook." So in a very profound way, the artist's journey mirrors that of Jesus in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. And just as the artist chose to step into the lives of everyday people to understand their humanity, Jesus, the creator of all things, chose to step into our world through the incarnation of a humble human being. He left the splendor of heaven to fully experience our joys, our struggles, our sorrows. And so we see that we see the humanity of Jesus this morning, creating a masterpiece of redemption. The story begins with the call for us to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus in Philippians. What mind is that? It's the mind of humility, of selflessness, of service. It's the mind that led Jesus to willingly set aside his divine glory and take on the form of a human being. We talked earlier about Jesus, the creator of the universe, stepping down from heaven. We even sang about it. And entering our world as a vulnerable baby. He did not choose a regal entrance, born in the splendor of a palace. His first cries filled the air in the humblest of settings, a stable. He experienced the limitations and fragileness of humanity from the moment he was born until the day he died. He felt the warmth of a mother's love and the comfort of a father's protection. He experienced hunger, thirst, fatigue, and a full spectrum of human emotions. He was not just partly human, he was completely human, and pain was not omitted from his experience on earth. Jesus is often referred to as the humble servant for his leadership and the way he loved people. It is constant with his birth. He met people where they were and he lived among them. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this is where the humanity of Jesus demonstrates his sacrificial love. It was through his humanity that he accomplished the most profound act of love and redemption by dying on the cross on our behalf. By taking on a human nature, Jesus bridged the gap between humanity and divinity, reconciling us to God and bringing us nearer to him. The humanity of Jesus is a living reality that continues to shape our faith and our relationship with God today. It means we have a Savior who intimately understands you and I, the struggles, the temptation. He knows what it's like to face adversity, rejection, and suffering. And even though he never sinned, he lived a perfect life. In our moments of doubt, pain, or despair, we can turn to him, knowing that he not only hears our prayers, but he understands the depths of our heart. And so as we navigate the complexities of our own human existence, as we navigate the complexities of the world as it is today, as we navigate the complexities of the culture in which we live, may we find peace in the fact that we are not alone. And so as we continue to reflect on Philippians 2, let's remember that our Savior, like the humble artist, stepped into our world. Isn't that an amazing thought? That Jesus steps into our world. Your world. My world. To fully understand and embrace us. Because he loves us. And he wanted to create a masterpiece of redemption that touches our hearts in the most unexpected and beautiful way. Think about the similarities here between Luke 2 and Philippians 2. So many similarities. We've talked about the unexpected arrival of Jesus to his humble parents in a manger. We have looked at his humanity and what it truly means to us, what it truly means for God to take on human flesh. And now we're going to look at the end of Jesus' life and notice some of the parallels between the cross and the manger, or the manger and the cross, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. There are deep connections between Jesus' birth and the way that he died. Have you thought generally about the comparisons between the beginning of life and the end? By God's grace, when many make it to the end of their life, it is beautifully heartbreaking. in the way that it reflects the beginning, the way God reflects and writes these stories, is clear and specific. He intentionally chose and designed life to happen in this way. And this is the same for the story of Jesus. The beginning of Jesus' story is just as important as the end. And the end is just as important as the in-between. Jesus' birth and his death were full of humility and vulnerability. His birth was surrounded by animals in a lowly barn, surrounded by shepherds. And at his death, we witness Jesus hanging on a cross, crucified and punished alongside common criminals. Neither one of these experiences are mighty or grand. It teaches us that Jesus' mission was not one of earthly glory and power, but of sacrificial love and redemption. His birth and his death bookend together a life characterized by humility, love, selflessness. And so we can look at the manger in Bethlehem, and we can see that it was the foreshadowing of the cross of Jesus' death. All we have to do is look at the backdrop there. The nativity, the manger, and in the background are the three crosses. We can't separate the two. He was born to die. He came to earth to offer himself as the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A servant, born in humblest of ways, King of Kings, chose to come down to earth to live the perfect life so that we, his people, you and I, could be close to the Father. Without his death and resurrection, we would still be dead in our sin and have no hope of eternity with God. I read a quote this week, and it goes like this, and it didn't say, it was an unknown author. Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. How beautiful that is. And so this morning, as we reflect on the birth and death of Jesus, we see the amazing ways that his life was completely divine and completely human, and how it is all connected. From the unexpected arrival in the humble manger to the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, Jesus' journey on earth illustrates his life as one of a humble servant. The birth of Jesus in a lowly stable, it was a deliberate act of humility, setting the tone for his entire mission. He identified with the marginalized and the ordinary, teaching us that God's love is accessible to all, regardless of our station in love, in life. His complete understanding of our brokenness allows us to approach God with confidence, knowing that he not only hears our prayers, but he empathizes with our weaknesses. His birth in a manger, his crucifixion on a cross, were profound demonstrations of God's intentional choice to connect with humanity in our most vulnerable state. His mission, it was not about earthly grandeur, but about sacrificial love and redemption for you and for me. So how can we, as God, recipients of God's love this morning, share that love with others? Just as the world was forever changed by the birth of Jesus, his death on the cross continues to transform lives and offers us the hope of eternal salvation today. So how can you and I, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and call him Lord and Savior of our lives, how can we share that love with others? How can we share that love with others? How can we humble ourselves? Where can we set aside the pride or the grinchy attitudes and place ourselves in positions to serve others as Christ served? This morning you might say, well, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I've never publicly, yes, I believe. But I've never publicly allowed Jesus Christ to be my Savior. This morning that opportunity is yours as well, to be able simply to say where you are, Lord Jesus. I recognize that you are the babe that was born in Bethlehem, who came to be the Savior of the world. And I want you to be the Lord of my heart today. Forgive me for the past, whatever that past is. And give me a new hope and a new life. And Jesus does that. That's the miraculous thing about Jesus. He does that in our lives. And you might say, you know what, I don't understand that. Well, there's a number of us that would be happy to explain it to you and to share the love of Jesus with you today. And this morning, just as we spend a few moments in his presence, in the quietness of the music, and we're going to sing a song in a minute. If the Lord is speaking to you today, do you feel that little... If you feel him speaking to you today, then raise your hand and say, Lord, I acknowledge your presence here this morning. I acknowledge your presence here this morning. I want to be a better servant. I want to be more and more like Jesus every single day. And just in the quietness of this moment, we're going to sing together a song that will be on the screen in a minute. Just the quietness, just to reflect on his love. Take a moment to say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Maybe you'd even like to say that out loud. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Light of the world, step down into darkness. We sang it earlier. My heart, my life is open to worshiping you today.